Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Hello, everyone. This is Samara Luna.
And this is Raven Fired All.
And this is the Tree of Life Hour on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network, brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area that are hopefully creating space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And tonight's show, we are doing our Chasing Squirrels episode, where we're talking about current events, things going on in the pagan world and in the mundane world that affect us. And also tonight, we have a special guest host, Lady Vanessa.
Good evening.
Say hello. And she will be discussing current events with us. So I know, Ravenfire, you had something that you wanted to start off with.
Yeah, I guess the first thing I kind of want to talk about is thing. It's kind of the reason we've been off air for the past couple weeks. A couple weeks ago, one of our co-hosts, Briny, she's been a co-host on a couple times, a special guest co-host. She lost her battle with mental illness after 20-something years fighting it. And she left behind her husband, her three children, and a whole lot of people who really loved and cared about her a lot. So a couple things that are going on as far as the community is concerned. Her one child is grown. Her other two children are not living at home at the time. And there's some personal reasons there that I don't feel comfortable discussing. And it's just because, you know, that's kind of stuff that's not really my business, to discuss. But her husband now is in, well, now widower, is in pretty bad shape money-wise. Apparently there's a lot of unpaid bills, a lot of unpaid expenses. They didn't have insurance. And there's been quite a few people that have been kind of pulling together and trying to get stuff together, because right now he's actually staying with me and Ulf. But the big thing that we've got going on right now is we are having a GoFundMe campaign running for him. It's GoFundMe.com/Sarah, S-A-R-A, Long, L-O-N-G. And we'd really appreciate it if people could give in the local community. You know, if you can only spare $5, you know, your $5 coupled with somebody else's $5 coupled with somebody else's $5 can really, really help him out. Also, if you can't give to the campaign, the one thing I do ask is if you could please share it far and wide. He's actually in pretty tough financial times, and there's a bunch of us who are trying to pull together and help him out. But, you know, we're all doing the best we can. But he could really use some help and some support. And if, you know, tonight we're going to talk about a couple of GoFundMe campaigns that are going to help the pagan community. And this is one that could definitely, you know, it's helping an individual in the pagan community here locally. the final expenses and everything else involved with being a loved one onto the other side.
Yes, and I was able to meet Briny at Raven Fire and Oaks commitment ceremony, and she was a wonderful person, and she will be missed.
Very much so. Oh, my gosh.
Well, Raven Fire Doll, let me just say, make sure that you prominently share daily this person's request so that other people can access it and reshare it. We can go to GoFundMe and share it to our pages instead of from you, to protect your personal identity, of course, Raven. So please do that for us in all these cases.
A really tough time for a lot of us here around the center, because a lot of us, you know, I considered Briny another sister of mine. And, you know, my husband considered her like a sister and her husband like a brother. And it's heartbreaking.
Right.
And the circumstances, and considering it was sudden and all the circumstances involved. And so, you know, he really needs help getting back up on his feet. And we're trying to do the best as we can.
Okay.
As he learns to provide, you know.
You are doing what you should. That's very thoughtful. Like I said, please make sure that you repost that daily, and some of us will catch it, and we'll go to GoFundMe, and then we'll share it to our page and tell them that it's somebody that a friend of a friend is in need.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm going to work on that right now.
Right. That is heavy, and this time of year, there are a lot of depressed and people, and, of course, a lot of terrible incidents. The fire, of course, down in outside the Smoky Mountains, in the Smoky Mountains, really, has
mm-hmm.
been horrific.
And that's actually our next. That's actually our next discussion we were going to have.
Okay. So what's on your all?
Well, of course, if you don't know what's going on, and it's hard to believe anyone wouldn't know what's going on. But if you don't know what's going on, of course, we got people that listen all over the world. So, but I'm sure most people have heard of Gatlinburg or the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, part of the Appalachian Trail that goes through the eastern part of the United States, and they have identified what they think happened. Apparently, sometime around Saturday, Sunday, they believe a fire was started by some backpackers on, I believe it's Chimney Top?
Yeah, it's at Chimney Top, and I'm about to get ugly here, okay?
Yeah, yeah, because backpackers, I backpack, Raven Fire backpack. During a drought, you don't have a fire.
No.
Because there's been a drought going on. There should have been a burning ban.
There was a burn ban in the park. Here's what I can tell you, because actually my parents they came back. They go down to the Smokies at the same time every year, which is end of October, first part of November. So my parents just came back a couple weeks ago from the Smokies, and they were talking about how dry it was down there, how basically there was hardly anything on the Little Pigeon River. There was a bunch, instead of like a big stream of water on the Little Pigeon River, it was just little bitty pools of water. There really, really was, you know, and instead of like a big stream, there may have been a trickle. There was a complete burn ban in the park. That's that's number one. There is a burn ban in the park. None in the park, no one in the park campgrounds were allowed to have campfires. There was a ban on charcoal. There was a ban on grills. There was, people didn't even want to stay in the park because of the restrictions on what you could and couldn't burn in the park, if that tells people how strict it was. And I will say this, the National Park Service was trying to do their job. It's just you have a couple of idiot backpackers who thought they knew better and thought, oh, well, you know, whatever, it can't be that bad. Well, obviously, either A, they intentionally said it, or B, they're morons. And let me tell people something about Chimney Top. Chimney Top, there's a picnic area at Chimney Top, but what I understand from where the actual fire started, it's about a mile to a mile and a half off the trail from the parking lot where that fire was started. So the fire was actually started up on the mountain.
From what I'm reading, it first spread to Chimney Top's picnic ground and then further down the mountain. The winds then spread the ashes out in all directions, creating more fires.
Yeah, and basically the topography of the area, Chimney Top, where it's at, it's the way up, and the way the winds were coming over the mountain, basically the winds came over the mountain, hit Chimney Top, and that day they were getting 50-60 mile an hour wind gusts, caught a spark, boom, shoved it completely through the park. According to what I've read from estimates, we're looking at over 15,000 acres burned. Now, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park itself is about 500,000 acres. So that's not that, but the part of a park that burns is actually the most populated part of the park. That's the part of the park that goes from Gatlinburg up to Newfound Gap and Clingman's Dome and on across to the reservation in Cherokee, North Carolina.
North Carolina has their own fires going on right now, too.
Right. But for some reason, thank the universe, they're staying out of the reservation. I figure they're doing something down on the reservation to keep the fires out. But there was a lot of people talking. I remember talking to my dad about this whole thing. Dad was saying that he was talking to people down there. So my parents like to eat a lot of restaurants and stuff that the locals eat at. That's just my parents. They're kind of weird like that. Gee, I wonder where I get it from. And they were, and they were talking about how some of the locals
That's
were complaining
weird.
That people were. Well, some people, anyway, my parents like little hole in the wall restaurants, where the locals go, like the little hole in the wall places, like here locally, like a place like Burger Boy would be like their favorite kind of place. But they were talking about how some of the locals were talking about how dry it was in everywhere down there, and that how, there were fires starting in different parts of Tennessee from like a cigarette butt being pitched out the window, just casually pitched out the window.
Okay.
Everything.
How does, so as pagans, what can we do and how can we affect change?
Well, number one, I think if you're going to go hiking or backpacking, number one, I would say strictly practice leave no trace camping. And
Very
if
good.
You're in a Follow national the rules. Park, and if you're in a national park that has a burn ban on, if you're somewhere where it has a burn ban, don't think that you know better. The National Park Service officials know what they're doing. Follow the rules. If there's a burn ban, there's a burn ban for a reason.
Agreed.
So, and then the other
also,
thing is...
sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I know there are some people out there right now that are collecting money to help the victims of the fires down there.
I kind of want to go into that a little bit. For those of you all, though, that know Tuatha Dé, they were affected by the fires. Don't think their houses were hit just yet, but I don't think they've been back to assess damage yet. Also, for those of you that have the Tufa Tales CD, the cover is Chimney Top.
Uh-huh.
That Danny is sitting on, that is Chimney Top. It was taken from there. But right now they are all kind of spread out in different directions. But Tessa, Danny's daughter, I believe she's a bass player for Tuatha Dea, she has started a GoFundMe campaign. It's called Gatlinburg Wildfires Christmas Fund. So she has started a GoFundMe campaign to raise money to, it's geared towards raising money to buy Christmas presents for those children who've lost it all or whose parents will be delayed a much needed paycheck during this time. The victims of this living nightmare. The money will be used to purchase toys, clothing items, and necessities such as diapers, formula, etc., and provide the families that have been hit hardest with some much-needed relief this holiday season. Kids tend to handle trauma differently, and giving them something to smile about this Yule season is, in our opinion, a must. Please donate what you can. Amounts over what is needed to provide Christmas for these kids will be donated to relief funds still in need. So they were asking. Right. They're asking for $5,000. They've gotten $1,600 of that so far, and that's just in one day. So,
right. Of course, people are going to ask when they do this. It being on GoFundMe, we're going to assume it's not a 501c3. It's just small donations, correct?
Correct. This is just, you know, just to get money for the kids and stuff. It's not actually going through a 501c3, as far as I know. But they are trying using their local fame and such to try to get that out there.
Right. Okay. These are such heavy topics for the holidays. And, of course, like we noted earlier, there is a lot we have to deal with and a lot going on. And that comes with the holidays, of course, a lot of emotional baggage we all carry around and tend to share. If or when you guys are ready, I was thinking about something a little lighter. Also in the holiday spirit, however.
Go for it.
Okay. Well,
please go for it.
Thank you. Something a little lighter, and we can always come back to that. In the holiday spirit, most of us, many of us, when we were kids, would go out to films with our families over the holiday season. That's a big deal. And one of the things that occurred to me today is how many wonderful magical-themed films there are out there. Of course, Doctor Strange was just released a couple of weeks ago on the 4th of November. And I was wondering.
Don't ruin it for me.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm not going to tell you a thing, but you absolutely need to get your fanny there before it disappears.
It's a metaphor.
So anyway, I was wondering if we could discuss maybe some of our favorite magical films and anything we're looking forward to, or things from the past. Of course, with the passing of David Bowie this year, I imagine old copies of Labyrinth went very fast. So. What's on your
mind? I got the board game.
Very good.
Yes, I finally got it in the mail. My husband ordered it for me back in May to hopefully get it for my birthday in September, but it came this past week.
Right. Well, you're going to have to break it out. We're all going to have to play.
Yes, we are.
Yes, I'm going to have a game night.
We can get a moderator to play over the radio. We can get a moderator and play over the radio. Have a third or a fourth party who's totally unbiased and can tell us what to do. That would be great. Or tell us what we have to do or should do. That would be fun.
Yeah, I have a few Christmas favorite things. Of course, I am a huge Harry Potter fan. Go figure. In the world is House Ravenclaw, and they did not get enough respect in the movie. So, you know, go figure.
Uh-huh. Well, those are classics.
Yeah.
The Harry Potter films.
And then I am so wanting to see Fantastic Beasts, but life has kind of kicked me Life's been kind of interesting lately, so Ulf and I have not gotten out to go see Fantastic Beasts. We have gotten to see Doctor Strange, and it's amazing, and I loved it.
Yep.
And oh my gosh, I was so happy with it. Without using spoilers, I can say Benedict Cumberbatch does look like the comic Doctor Strange, and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Nice.
And the movie's awesome. And some of my friends who are more familiar with the comic book storyline have said the movie's awesome. And, of course, your hardcore Marvel fanboys are fairly hard to please when it comes to their storyline. I'm also really looking forward to Rogue One. I'm also a Star Wars nerd. I mean, yeah, go figure, me a nerd.
Hey, the Force counts as a magical thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There's religions based on it, so yes.
of course,
I know one movie that. Oh, sorry. I think I had a delay for some reason.
I think I may too. Of course, in Doctor Strange, there was quite a bit of controversy surrounding the Tilda Swinton character, as in the comics, that character is definitely portrayed as Tibetan. However, if you followed that controversy at all, the movie executives said that they decided to not go with a Tibetan actress or actor in that case because they didn't want to alienate the potential Chinese market, which would have happened because, of course, the Chinese market, the Chinese state does not recognize Tibet. So if you have any, you know, comments about that, that's fine. But that was their rationale. It is a business-based rationale. And we did love our Tilda Swinton, but they didn't want to alienate those billions of people in China.
That's actually an interesting choice. You know, like there was one movie that I refused to see, which was called Gods of Egypt this year. And my problem with Gods of Egypt was somewhat similar to some people's problems with Tilda Swinton in the Marvel universe. But my issue, you know, one character's not as bad as like what they did with Gods of Egypt, where no one in the main cast was either African or Arab. They were all white people. And, you know, if you're going to do a movie called Gods of Egypt, I mean, I would expect, you know, maybe some Middle Eastern actors or some African actors, someone from that part of the world to be cast in these roles. And so I refused to see the movie because of that. I know a couple people who have seen it, and they said, well, you know, some of the other characters, some of the supporting characters are have color or color and this and that. I said, yeah, but my problem with the movie is that the movie's called Gods of Egypt, and yet all the main characters are white.
It was a decent movie, though. I did watch it. It was a decent movie.
Right. I can say I haven't seen it, and perhaps I should. So I will be on the lookout. I will make notes. Egyptian gods?
Yeah, it's called Gods of Egypt.
Oh, Gods of Egypt. That does make a difference.
Okay. It's got, who is it, Gerard Butler and somebody else. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
I'll find it. I'm sure it's not too hard to find. But anyway, I do want to say Doctor Strange is good. Magical Beasts, I'm sure, is great. I'd love to get to see that. And there's a lot of other classic films people put on my personal Facebook page that they were excited about. And I hope that people enjoy watching some of those and sharing their memories of those films with their families as the season passes.
I will say that as far as newer movies, like one that's on video now that was actually really good, Pete's Dragon is really good.
Oh, that's a good one.
I had to see that one. Ulf
is
trying to talk.
And John Cassier does the sounds for the dragons. With if you don't know who he is, I'm a big horror fan, and he is the person that voices the Crypt Keeper.
Okay, sold.
Did you say you were sold?
I love the Crypt Keeper. What are you talking about? I got in trouble when I was Crypt Keeper, watching Tales from the Crypt on HBO because it was too mature for me.
He's a really nice guy. I really like him. He's very personable. As far as, like, traditional, well, I'll say it's not really a traditional movie. It's kind of like in between. But Nightmare Before Christmas, to me, that's kind of magical. It looks at, like, you know, all the fairy tales and seasons and stuff. So.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, the Harry Potter movies.
Right. Well, some of the other favorites listed, he says it's corny. But Raven with Vincent Price, so that's a very old film. Of course. I had the pleasure of seeing him speak at Indiana University Southeast, across the river in New Albany several years ago. It was amazing. One I hadn't heard of, and I'm curious about, called Suspiria. Must be fascinating. I have several comments about how unusual that is. And the person that
I saw the
that,
comments, and I've heard of it, but I've not seen it.
Set in a girls' school for dance and the occult. Sounds marvelous, doesn't it? I haven't seen that either. And, of course, Carrie in the horror. My horror fans showing up. I'm surprised I don't have more of them chiming in. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Several here I don't know. How about Stardust? You know that movie? I'm not familiar with that one. I have to check it out.
Sounds familiar.
Too many movies. Just don't know them all. And Beautiful Creatures. Of course, The Craft. That was mentioned twice. Excalibur, my personal favorite, with John Borman's Excalibur from 81 with the fabulous Helen Mirren, and that several people comment on that. But those are good films to share with your family. Dark Crystal, there's a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
Monty
Dark
Python
Crystal's
and
fun.
Monty.
It's a fun movie.
I'm sorry. I have been watching some Monty Python lately to kind of cheer myself up.
I have to do a warning though on Monty Python and the Holy Grail. If you don't understand British humor, do not watch it late at night by yourself. I made that mistake in high school because everyone had been talking about it. I was in drama in high school. Everyone talked about it. I really didn't get British humor at the time. And it was really, really, it was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I'm by myself, flap happy by myself. I watched it, and I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Of course, I also thought that about Doctor Who at that point in time because I didn't get British humor. Of course, going back and seeing it now, it's great. And I'm a big Doctor Who fan, too. So
Doctor Who is better today, of course. The writing is much better, and the production values are much better today than they were back then, that's for sure. But British humor, you know, is dry humor. It's tongue-in-cheek, and it is also very visual. People that tend to like the Three Stooges and that era tend to like British humor. So I'm all about Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's a great and fun film.
Yeah, it is. And here's the thing: as bad as things have been, like around here with everything that has been going on, it's been like there's been a couple times where it's just like I just need a good laugh, and So, you know, I've watched the Monty Python, and it actually really helped, because, you know, there's a couple of things with Monty Python, and it is so tongue-in-cheek. Like, you cannot be scared of shit. That's one of my favorites.
Yep. Very slapstick, too, and that's something that you have to deal with. And quite literally, whenever I think of Monty Python being slapstick, I think of not, of course, the Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but the fish slapping dance. That's just hilarious. that was from the TV show, however.
Yes, I remember the fish slapping dance. That's great.
Yeah, it is. And absolutely ridiculous. That's half the point of it. Just ridiculous. Anyway, so those are fun things to share, but Monty Python and the Holy Grail, of course, does fall into magical themes in the same way Rogue One does. They may be on the periphery, but they're still definitely in the ballpark. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I thought that would be a nice topic and to remind people there's so much excellent magical-themed visual literature out there for people to share with their families. So I always like to remind people of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pagan,
let's see. Pagans
sometimes tend to forget that despite our feelings of repression, and we are, of course, minorities in our belief systems in this country, we tend to forget, though, that we have quite the presence in film and in all types of literature out there. So share those. Sorry, your turn.
That's okay. I was just going to just let everyone know that some of the news stories that we share come off of thewildhunt.org, and they actually, if you would like to support them, they actually go out and scrounge the world looking for pagan news. They do original news also, and they have a donate link now that they are keeping on their page, and it's not just the you know, you don't have to wait for the Indiegogo campaign or anything like that. You can actually donate on their page now. But there was a story coming out.
What organization?
Wild Hunt.
Before you... Wild Hunt. Oh, yes, the Wild Hunt, sure. Yep, okay. The Wild Hunt has a story.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'll stop now.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, Tamara.
A story coming out of Minnesota, and from White Bear Lake, Minnesota, there's a pagan-owned business called the Enchanted Boutique, Metaphysical Boutique. I love the name. It's a metaphysical store that has a lot of product and services about angels and paranormal and pagan and witches. It's not just pagan witches. They have a lot of customers. On November 18th, the owner was helping someone notice someone hang out in the back of the store. When she finished with the customer, she approached the person in the back of the store, her name is Christine Burke, is the customer. She asked about another metaphysical shop, and the owner told her that that shop was out of business. Sorry, dog's acting up. But the owner still did tarot readings, and then she handed her a flyer about services, and up to that point she said the exchange was completely typical. What the owner didn't know was that Burke's a devout Christian who feels a calling to witness in stores and places she feels are diabolical. She's known to the pagan community for her past activities at other businesses. In August, it is alleged that Burke harassed two owners of Collective Harmony Massage and Healing Arts, and they hired an attorney to have Burke post about them, one of which displayed their license plate number removed from Facebook. So the attorney had to issue a cease and desist letter. She was engaging in acts damaging the reputation of the business and harassing one of its owners. Also, the Enchanted Boutique received a second visit from Burke, and she was holding a Bible and said she wanted to introduce Jesus to the owner. And she informed Burke that, you know, they catered to many different religions. She already knew Jesus. And she said she seemed uninterested in that and continued to talk about my meeting Jesus. So I told her I was not interested and asked her to leave. She continued and I asked her to leave a couple more times before she actually walked out of the shop. So Burke shared her visit on Facebook and posted a photo of the store with the comments, "This has been a breakthrough for me. I can stand with God's armor on and confront my first witch in person." And Burke actually made a, I'm not going to go through the whole Facebook post, but Burke said that she told Wild Hunt that she had done nothing wrong. She just wanted to share Jesus with her. No harm in that. There's nothing to report. I see you're not a Christian according to your timeline. I hope you see Jesus. That is what all this was about, to stir them up to pay attention because Jesus is be returning. And then she said, "Maranatha." I don't know what that means. Vanessa or Ravenfire, do you, have you heard of that? Maranatha, M-A-R-A-N-A-T-H-A?
Some sort of...
What are you trying to say? Namaste? That's Buddhist.
Well, this is coming from the Christian lady.
Yeah, I know. That's why that doesn't make any sense. I have a question. You said that you got this off a Facebook page, not a business page, and the Wild Hunt has its own business page. What Facebook page?
Well, this is on the Wild Hunt page where they do their articles. This is one of the articles that I'm taking excerpts from.
This is on Facebook, then. We can find it easily on Facebook.
No, this is on wildhunt.org.
Oh, wildhunt.org. Okay. That's good to know.
They do have a Facebook page, but they have a blog type thing where they post their articles for news.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with the Wild Hunt, and among many excellent public resources, that's one to read. I don't always agree with all of their viewpoints, but I do read some of the things that they publish. So I have to say it's worth a look, and I'm curious to see this. It is going to probably become more prevalent, these sorts of, and they are confrontations. When these people are witnessing is a type of conversion effort, and they may say it's not, but it is. So that is a confrontation by this conservative Christian person. So we need to be wary of that and to, you know, tell them we aren't interested and it's our rights. And
right,
Wild Hunt actually
brings up a good question.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Well, the question they bring up is, sorry, I know we keep talking over each other. The joys of doing this all over the phone. but the Wild Hunt brings up and says, when does proselytizing cross the line into trespassing? At what point does free speech and ability to practice one's religion turn into harassment and stalking?
When it happens in your business, when it happens at your event that is focused on pagan community, you can ask people like that to leave. There's no reason you can't.
Well, and something like with, I've got a big sign on my front door, and some part of it's because I work night shift, but another part of it is because we've got a couple of baptizing churches in the neighborhood, and I have a big sign up that says, "No witnessing, no soliciting, no proselytizing. Girl Scouts with cookies are welcome, and so is the Crusade for Children. Other than that, don't knock on my door, and I will call the police on you." Don't think I won't.
Right. Well, I certainly,
you know, it's like I don't run around to my neighbor, you know, and I've told people this, you know, I don't go knocking on my neighbor saying, "Hey, let me tell you about the All Father."
Right.
You know, but they don't want to hear about it, so I don't want to hear about their Christian deity. And I'm, that's why I just put the sign on the front door, because the sign for me says confrontation. But, you know, they, you know, someone should be actually the business or I know at Indie Pagan Friday one year they had some problem with some people who
it's, you know, we're not
Ravenshire, you're echoing really bad.
What?
You're echoing really bad. I don't know, maybe it's just my phone.
It's your phone.
Okay,
it could be, yeah.
Never mind, keep talking.
Anyway, what I was saying, though, is that, you know, a lot of Christian groups do not understand that non-Christians have a problem with proselytizing. You know, and I've got a couple of very close friends of mine who are extremely Christian, but the funny thing is that they're non-proselytizing Christians, which I know sounds very weird, but it's like they're probably the most Christian people I know, because they believe in living their religion, but they also don't believe that they should shove their religion on others. They're kind of like, you have your path, I have mine, and we're good.
Most Christians I know don't proselyze or witness, and especially wouldn't do so in the wrong context, like a magical Wiccan pagan store or a pagan Wiccan festival. I heard that this year in Nashville's Pagan Pride Day had some issues. We had none here in Louisville this year, but did in 2015. Heard Nashville had quite a few protesters this year. I'm not going to say they're protesters. I'm going to call them proselytizers or witnessers, because they're not protesting. That's not what that is.
Now, I know when I was actually working Pagan Pride Day, when I was on the board, one of the times I was towards the end of the day, we were working one of the gates, and about three or four young men came up, and they were Christian, but they actually came, and they had it was actually a really good conversation that they had with us. They were very polite. They were very respectful. I mean, they were trying to push just a little bit, you know, about their religion, but they were still very respectful about it. They didn't push too hard. And they actually asked questions, because they were doing the closing ritual, and we informed them what was going on and everything.
Well, the Louisville Pagan Pride Day provides an area for people to go share their viewpoint and discuss other mainstream belief systems, which basically, let's face it, we're talking about the big three, the big Abrahamic three. So that's pretty easy. So they have a place they can go to do that if they want to engage people or discuss that. And that we've done that. I don't know when you were helping organize Tamara, but they've had that since I can remember, these last, 5 years now, something like that. So
they've had it since the inception. Mike created that when he created Pagan Pride Day here in Louisville. It's the free speech zone. We've had the signs up for the free speech zone since the beginning.
That's very good. And that's really where you know, that sort of topic discussion belongs. So but it doesn't always stay, I guess, corralled in there, and that does happen. And I know that other organizations have it. I'm very sad to hear that up in – where is the store? Up in Michigan?
Minnesota.
Up in Minnesota, the Enchanted Boutique. I'm really sorry to hear that that happened to them. Then again – all news is good news, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. As far as something positive, the Getty Research Institute based in Los Angeles is hosting an exhibit called The Art of Alchemy. The mysterious art of alchemy transformed visual culture from antiquity to the industrial age, and its legacy still permeates the world we make today. And I know there's a lot of pagans that follow a lot of the alchemy tenets and stuff.
Right. Alchemical studies are big and growing again, I think. I certainly think there's a resurgence of hermetics and alchemy studies in those sorts of topics, and they are fabulously interested. A bit heady for some people, perhaps, but I challenge anybody to look into them a little bit. It's certainly a way to expand your basic, you know, understanding of pagan paradigms.
Right. It is time for us to take a quick break. I'm going to play a song, and I'm actually going to play Tuatha Dea just to kind of put that out there for all our Appalachian folks that are in need right now.
Very sad. Yes,
so,
please do.
Let's see. Let's play. What sounds good? Any requests, Vanessa?
I like pretty much everything. You go for it. Pick something you like.
Okay, let's play something a little bit fun. Let's play, and I haven't played this in a long time, so let's play Tuatha Dea, and I'm going to play the live version of Granny's Bedtime Tonic. How does that sound?
Okay.
So we
good.
Will be back right after that. After this, and this is Tuatha Dea and Granny's Bedtime Tonic live.
Check, test. Am I supposed to be hearing this?
I'm having to. Oh,
okay, this is the part where I need you guys to make a lot of noise for me, because this is. I'm going to tell a little story in just a second. When I was a kid growing up, I was raised by my grandmother, my great grandmother, and my mom. So I had three mothers, right? My grandmother used to sing me to sleep as a little child when I was five and up. She sang me to sleep, and this was a song that was passed down through our family, generation to generation to generation. And we knew it went way back, but we didn't know exactly where it came from. This was our lullaby. This was what put us to sleep at night. And it's what I sang to my kids. By the way, these are my kids over here on the far left side of the stage. So I sang this to my kids growing up when they were little. This was their lullaby, too. After my grandmother passed away, we did some research because we were really, really curious where this song came from. And what we found after doing a lot of research was my grandmother, our lullaby, what she'd been singing us all those years, was an old Irish pub song called Five Nights Drunk. It's okay, you can laugh about that. Man. What we found, though, the reason it was so hard to trace the origins of this particular song was that my grandmother... Anybody out there know the song Five Nights Drunk, by the way? The song's about a promiscuous woman. We got a couple. And a drunken man. Try that again, because I think you guys will get the hang of it as we move along. It's about a promiscuous woman. There we go. And a drunken man. Let's try this again. Drunken. Wait a minute. Promiscuous woman. Drunken man. Come on. Come on, guys. Promiscuous women. Drunken men. Promiscuous women. Drunken men. Now that you all know who you are, I hope you were looking around the room while that was going on. That's what the song's about. My grandmother had taken the liberty of child-proofing the lyrics so she could sing it to a five-year-old. Well, we're from the East Tennessee Mountains, which is right over the ridge over there. You guys are here in North Carolina. Matt, by the way, Asheville, North Carolina, let me hear you. So we Appalachianized it. You should understand this concept. And what we've come up with is what we're about to do for you guys tonight. We call it Granny's Bedtime Tonic. Here we go.
Well, I went out on my back porch to see what I could see.
cows her mother said to me, yeah, bubbly, bubbly, well done, looking county saddle on, like I never did see, yeah. Well, every time when I come home, yeah, this must be. My back porch, she wants to back to see. There I spied a gentleman's walk underneath the tree, yeah. I called my wife, sir, she answered me. There come this gentleman's walk, be here, now leave me, yeah.
You old fool, you blind fool, fool who cannot see.
You must have been careful. Mother said to me, yeah, bubbly, bubbly, well done, sucking calf with a curly tail, my God, never to see, yeah, and every time when I come home, yeah. My back porch, to what I could see. There I spied a gentleman's hat hanging in the tree, yeah. I called my wife and sir, she answered me. There come this gentleman's hat, be here, and leave me, yeah.
You old fool, you blind fool, fool you cannot see.
It's my table pie, sir. Mother said to me, yes. Bubbly, bubbly, well done. Chamber pie with a feather band. Like I never did see, yeah. And every time when I come home. Thanks. Oh, you guys are good.
Hi, this is Ravenfire Doll with the Tree of Life Hour. I know a lot of you out there listen to our show in the archives. And have you ever thought when you were listening in the archives, man, I wish I was able to call in and talk to them while they had a guest on or they were talking about something? Well, now here's your chance. This is especially for you, our archive listeners. If you want to ever add to our conversation, please feel free to dial us on our listener voicemail line. That number is area code 502-276-5665. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Leave your message in your lovely, lovely voice, and we will be more than happy to play it on an upcoming episode of the Tree of Life Hour. We love our listeners, and we thank y'all very much for listening to us.
So are we back?
I believe we are back.
All right. Great news.
That is great news. Samara, are you around?
Well, she might. Maybe she's taking.
Sorry, I was muted.
Ah. Okay.
I was so muted. I was trying to talk, and I thought I was talking, and it fell in line with you all talking, so I didn't think anything of it. So. All right, so I just want to bring up a few other articles before we start to end. I did want to bring up that there, according to a Daily Beast article, but this is being reported by Wild Hunt, Satanist Monica Lujan is suing a private prison for violating her religious rights and punishing her for her beliefs. A New Mexico Women's Correctional Facility allegedly confiscated nearly all of her belongings, leaving her with one pair of underwear and no bedding for 4 months. The chaplain reportedly also berated her in public and called her the devil herself. The ACLU of New Mexico is representing Lujan.
What happened? How did this even happen?
Let me see if I can go to the full article, because it was just a small blurb in their Release the Hounds thing where they just go through a list of stuff. Let's see. It looks like it says she's practiced Satanism since she was a child, her lawyers say, but the chaplain of New Mexico Women's Correctional Facility punished her for her beliefs. After being booked for low-level drug offenses, the prison allegedly confiscated nearly all of her belongings, leaving her with one pair of underwear and no bedding for 4 months.
Wow.
And he allegedly said, I'm going to confront the devil herself, after her repeated request for a satanic Bible. She is
wow.
a practicing member of the Church of Satan since she was 13.
Yep.
And of course, the Church of Satan believes it's a metaphor for the individual, not the actual Satan.
Right.
So she arrived in August 2013 at the facility run by Private Corrections Corporation of America. And she reportedly asked for a copy
There's
of
the
Satanic
problem.
Bible.
Right.
Her repeated requests were denied every time.
Private prison, not good. Yep, that's a bad thing. That's the
yeah.
problem right there.
PCA really has little to no regards for. They want to do things as cheaply as they possibly can at PCA.
Wow, sorry to hear
yeah.
that. I hope that things work out for alternative spiritualities that are not understood by the mainstream press, much less much of the broad pagan community, face a lot of stigma and difficulties in trying to let people know their path. It's a problem, It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. Oh, well, I hope that things work out for her, and I will look for that article. All right. My turn?
Yes, go for it. Tell us your wonderful news.
All right. I do have exciting news. Wick and Reed's here in Louisville, which I have done a show with my dear friend Tamara in the past year about, is starting its meetups, or they're not meetups, it's starting meeting again in January this year. I've already made that announcement on Wick and Reed's site, but I hadn't announced the topic, and I'm going to make that announcement, the world premiere of the topic for Wick and Reed's, and also the fact, if no one knows, of course, we're not meeting at Rue anymore here in Louisville. Rue is defunct. So, I've been talking to Allie Friels, the owner of the Cure Lounge at 1481 South Shelby here in Louisville at 40217. And Allie has... Hello?
Allie has...
What? I'm sorry?
I was just Allie saying they're awesome people.
Yes, Allie has okayed. Yes, they are. Allie has okayed a little space set aside for Wick and Reed's to meet on the fourth Thursdays as usual, and that will be January 26th after a very long fall hiatus for Wick and Reed's. You can go to Wick and Reed's Facebook page and read about that. But the topic now, the world premiere of the topic, holidays, pagan and the mundane. Focus on what you have read. Bring a book or an article or even your own experiences to discuss and share with the group. Things like, for example, how do you celebrate or incorporate mundane holidays into your pagan path? Do you? How do you deal with holidays of the pagan variety in your day-to-day life? Things like that. So, good topic, very broad, as usual. We try to keep it that way. So I'm looking forward to that discussion in January.
Awesome. And I'm going to try to be there.
Yeah, well, like I say, new digs. You can go to Wick and Reed's page on Facebook and read about the location. And then later tonight, I'll post the topic that I'm revealing now. There are games, There are games, giveaways, interactive activities, sharing, and of course, the joy of being at the Cure is not just coffee, but your choice of adult beverage as well, if you'd like to partake. So
they make really good Bloody Marys.
They make really good Bloody Marys.
I've heard.
So, real quick, Ravenfire, was there any news in the heathen world that I missed?
There's a couple things going on, but we're probably gonna wait for those till Heathen Perspective this month. And that's just simply because some of it is I'm kind of wanting to make sure that I have all the facts right before doing an episode on it. So we're gonna wait. The big local news right now is Briny's passing. I'd say that's probably the biggest thing we've got going on locally.
And this was the lead story we came in on this evening, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, then we'll start talking about events coming up. Tomorrow night is the Heathen Pub Moot. Ravenfire, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, so tomorrow night is our usual Heathen Pub Moot. We are at usual at Wick's on Baxter Avenue, and that has everything to do with we can have food. We can have adult beverages for those who want to partake of adult beverages. Also, I believe someone is actually going to be bringing a horn this month. I think we're going to have a little traditional horn raising for Sarah Long's. This is for anybody who is heathen adjacent in the local community. We're actually a pretty welcoming, open group.
The other thing is that we are signers of Declaration 127. So you don't have to worry about idiots being there. we'll be there at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Wixpizza. Usually we are in the pool room every, you know, they haven't moved us out of there yet, but sometimes they might. So just ask them where the big giant group of people is, because we usually get about a 10 to 15 people. So come join us. I will be there. Oak will be there.
Great. Excited.
I believe there's going to be several other people there that have been guests on our show before, at least for Heathen Perspective. So please come and join us at Wix.
Okay.
Pizza. Mm-hmm. What could be better?
Right. I wanted to say, once you finish, or once the Heathen Pub Moot at Wix with Raven Firedoll ends, be sure to step by The Cure for Market for Mischief at 1481 South Shelby. Lady Vanessa, myself, will be reading tarot cards that evening and sharing my magically charged earrings and other useful items. And there'll be a lot of people with alternative gift ideas for your friends and loved ones this holiday. So come on by for an evening, and we'll be there until 1 a.m.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's an alternative market.
Yes.
Well, and that's the thing. For people, you know, you get done hanging out with us Vikings, head on down to the Cure Lounge. They're not that far away from each other. Maybe 15 minutes top.
Yeah, they are close.
Okay. All right, and December 3rd, there will be Louisville Solidarity with Standing Rock.
Yes.
Saturday, 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the Big Four Bridge on the Louisville side. They will be having a prayer circle, and there will other be people talking about the importance of this incredible movement. So please, if you have a chance and you're in the Louisville area, please go. Let's see. We also have teleconference, Meet Your Spiritual Inner Child. This is going to be in Hermitage, Tennessee. You can check it out at BonnieHasson.com. You can click to register on that site and get all the information you need to connect to the teleconference. Also, December 8th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., there is Protection Magic, a discussion and teach-in by Byron Ballard at Asheville Raven and Crone in Asheville, North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah. I would want to go to one of her workshops so bad. I told her she needs to start Skyping them.
I've got another one when you get a chance.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see, every first and third Wednesday of the month, however, not the third this year because that is actually on the pagan holiday, but every first and third holiday, of course, CUPS, Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans, meets at First Unitarian Church here in Louisville in the 400 block of 4th Street at the corner of York. And we'll be meeting this coming Wednesday on the 7th. I'm not sure what the topic is, but you can look that up at firstulu.org/cups. You can find that at the church's website. So we look forward to seeing people there on the 7th. That's free. Those classes are free and open to the public. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. December 10th, it's not specifically a pagan event, but there will be a fairy doll workshop, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Arts Council of Southern Indiana. It's on Market Street in New Albany, Indiana. John joins Sierra Pruneski, the creator of fairy dolls, and Allie Lone, an art teacher at ACSI. for this magical hands-on class where they will show you how to create your very own fairy doll. It's for ages five and up are welcome without adult accompaniment. Class fee is $15. They do suggest you bring your own glue gun if you can. Let's see. We also have another campaign going on Indiegogo is the new Kilts and Corsets campaign by Tuatha Dea. Just look up Kilts and Corsets. This is for their new CD that they are going to be putting out with lots of goodies in return if you support them. Also, December 18th, there will be a Yule celebration at 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Edwin Warner Park in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm guessing that is as long as they don't have any damage, so you may want to check with them on Facebook to see what's going on.
I wanted to announce on December 18th, also at First Unitarian Universalist Church here in Louisville, their fabulous Singing Solstice presentation. You can, here again, you can go to their website. That's an evening presentation, and they do ask for a donation to help defer the cost. They will sing and reenact the descent of Kor into the underworld, which, of course, relates to many pagan paths. Most people perhaps might relate that more to Persephone. And the turning of the year, of course, is implicit in that myth. So I'd like to invite people to come to the Singing Solstice at First Unitarian Universalist Church in the on the evening of the Sunday the 18th. And the CUPS group from the church will be hosting the reception that evening. So come on out and enjoy it. It's a beautifully done event.
And also, for some reason, I'm not finding it. When is the meetup? Was it this past Tuesday?
Are
no,
you talking about
Tuesday,
the
right?
Witches and Pagans Night
yes.
Out meetup?
Yes.
Okay, normally yes. That has been occurring. Normally that has been occurring on the fourth Tuesdays. November's was canceled because the organizer had a personal issue to deal with. So I haven't heard that December's is on, or I haven't heard that. I don't know. I cannot confirm that, but I do know what you're talking about. That would be the 27th. Now, there had been another meetup of the Kentucky Pagan Alliance on the second Tuesdays, but they've moved to a new location, and I am
yeah,
not
that's
privy
what I was thinking
to
of.
Where that is. Yeah, they have
well,
moved
right
to a new location in the Highlands, and they haven't made much of a public impact regarding that location.
They're going back to Denny's.
Are they?
Yeah, they actually have the next meeting set up. It's Tuesday, December 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's every second Tuesday of the month, and it's going to be at the Denny's on Eastern Parkway in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. Last
they have
month
moved
they
back
weren't there.
There.
Last month they took off from that location.
Right, and they're back now.
Okay. Okay, then.
Sorry.
Fun things
I was
to know and share.
I was looking for my meetup app on my phone because that's where it is, and I couldn't find it. So So, all right. As far as next week's show, it is still in the works. I don't have anything set up yet. I do have a show set up for December 15th, though, and I want to go ahead and get the word out there for it because this is going to be a huge show. Byron Bass
Great.
Is going to be coming on. We just got this finalized earlier. She's going to be coming on talking about Tower Time and what it means, what it is, and how to prepare for it. So she's been posting a lot about it on her Facebook page. So please come on and listen. I've actually set up a event page for everyone to share, and it is on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/treeoflife, L-O-U-K-Y. You can also send us information about if there's anything you want us to discuss in the future. We can talk about it. So just let us know. Give us feedback on there. You can call our listener line that we played earlier. So I guess that is all for tonight. Lady Vanessa, was there anything else you wanted to say before we end?
Thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate you coming
on. Well, thank you for coming
on. I enjoy you all. I enjoyed conversing with you all. So, good evening.
We do too. So, Ravenfire, was there anything you wanted to add before we end?
I would just say, y'all be safe out there, and please give to a pagan cause this holiday season.
Yes, and I will say, everyone have a blessed evening, and we will speak to you next week. And I am looking for something good to play to take us out of here. Let's see. I am going to play something I've not played before, so I don't really know what it is, but it's by John Woodward. I think the CD is probably called Ashes, and the song is called Motionless Land. So again, that's John Woodward, and that's going to take us out, and we will talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
TV man spoke of death on some coast. I saw the crumbling debris. It dealt me a blow, but I'm thankful to know that it could never happen to me. I am standing on motionless land, a constant under my feet. God, four walls and a roof overhead. It could never happen to me. I feel for the poor folks who wander the streets in search of their daughters and sons. It's that there are people with nothing to eat, but I'm thankful I'll never be one.
Witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education?
With more than 12,000 pages, witchcool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchcool's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on Earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchcool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchcool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.